We'll begin our Christmas service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to welcome all of you to Merry Christmas, the Christmas service 2019. We're moving the date back a little bit. The theme of the Christmas service today is that it might be fulfilled. And what's going to be happening is the children are going to be reading many prophecies from the Old Testament, and they're all fulfilled and come together on that night when the Lord was born in a manger at Bethlehem. And so the point is that it took 4,000 years for this to happen. And it was all prophesied ahead of time. And it happened just exactly the way God said it would. So the Christian people, I call them Christian, they believed in Christ in the Old Testament too. So the Christian people in the Old Testament were looking forward to the coming of Christ. And now we're looking backward to the time when he did come. And then we're going to be looking forward too. But right now, we will begin the regular service.
Tells us that our Savior would be of the line of Abraham, Jesse, and David. He would judge and destroy the enemy, and people of ancient times would get to see him in heaven.
I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Sheth.
Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth.
This was fulfilled in Matthew 1:1-5, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse.
And that kings from the east would come to offer him gifts. Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And Psalm 72, 9 through 10. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts.
This was fulfilled in Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive
a bear, a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
This is fulfilled in Matthew 1:18-25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Before we continue with the Old Testament prophecies, let us now read the precious account of the birth of our Lord as told in Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
The Old Testament even tells us how Satan would attempt in vain to stop the child from growing up to win the ultimate victory on the cross. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. And Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt.
This was fulfilled in Matthew 2, 13 through 18. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all costs, therefore, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are gone.
I'll be strong though I'm not strong.
while the prophecies of the Old Testament appear pretty much from Genesis to Malachi, the very first prophecy of the coming of the Savior was way back in the Garden of Eden. And oddly enough, God was speaking this prophecy to the devil, the serpent. It's recorded in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou shalt be cursed above all cattle and above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat dust all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, hatred, anger between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall crush thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. So Adam and Eve were listening as God spoke these things to the serpent. And they started waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. The mistake that they made was that they thought the promise would be fulfilled right away. And very quickly, Eve became pregnant, gave birth to a little baby boy, and she said, I have gotten a man, the Lord. Now, most translations have, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and that can be a correct translation. And the truth would be that children are a blessing from God, and they all come from Him. But the word translated from, the Hebrew word, can also be translated, if you want to use that word, with a dash. So you don't translate it at all. And I believe this is what Eve said. I have gotten a man, the Lord. And she thought that this was the seed that was going to crush the head of the serpent. Adam and Eve both thought that. They thought this thing was going to happen right away. You know the rest of the story. It didn't happen right away. In fact, their first son became a murderer. Just like his father and mother resisted God, rebelled against him, and slew the second son that Adam and Eve had. And from there on, it was a wait of some 4,000 years. Year after year after year came and went. Promise was not fulfilled. It was even worse than that. On top of Mount Sinai, God was talking with Moses for 40 days and 40 nights and giving him treasures right from heaven itself. And at the same time that was happening, the children of Israel at the bottom of the mountain were worshiping the golden calf. And this was the birth of the Hebrew nation, and it had a very bad beginning, just like the offspring of Adam and Eve had. And so when you look at the history of the Old Testament church, it's a downward spiral. Back at that time, shortly after that, God rejected all the heathen nations, chose Israel for his own people. So the heathen people, they didn't even know about a promised Savior, and neither did they feel that they wanted one. Israel did know, but as it ended up, they didn't really want him either. Because the history of the Old Testament church is down, 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 rejecting God right, left, and in between. And finally, 4,000 years after the promise was given, the Jewish people had hit rock bottom and were starting to dig. And when the promised Savior came, they hated him. And they persecuted him. And they cried out, "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify this guy. Crucify him. Crucify him." A sad, sad ending to 4,000 years of waiting. What is surprising, I think, to all of us, is the very common way in which the promise was fulfilled. There was no big deal. There were no bands that were playing. There was no parade. It was just a simple thing. It took place in the darkness of night. Darkness of night. Which really shows the physical condition of the Jewish people, doesn't it? So who knew about the coming of the Savior? Well, Joseph knew it. Mary knew it. That's all, at first. But then that same night, an angel appeared to the shepherds, keeping watch over their flock, and told them that the promised Savior had come, and the shepherds in joy believed it and hurried to Bethlehem, found the babe lying in a manger, and worshipped him. We don't know how many shepherds there were, but there weren't very many. So when the promise was fulfilled, only a handful of people were aware of it. The high priest didn't know it. Annas and Caiaphas were ignorant of it. The scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't know it. It all happened under the darkness of night and in their own spiritual darkness. So we come then to the New Testament, and we find a parallel and a contrast. And the parallel is in John 14, verse 2, and before that, as we just heard read from Luke chapter 2, the Savior was born. We know how that happened. But then the Son of God made a promise too, and the promise was this. It's in John 14, verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." I'm not trying to hide anything. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And the last to be created were Adam and Eve. In other words, God prepared a home for them. And when they were brought into the world, the home was all ready. They could move in and live in it. Well, Jesus is doing the same thing right now. He's preparing. He ascended into heaven. You know the story. Crucified, dead, buried, rose from the dead on the third day, and ascended into heaven. And what is he doing? He's preparing a place for us, just like he and the Father and the Holy Spirit did for Adam and Eve back in the first day of creation and the first week of creation. And we're waiting. And we're waiting for him to come. And the parallel between the Old Testament now and the New is that the early Christian church, I'm calling it early Christian church, the New Testament church, they made the same mistake that Adam and Eve did back in the Garden of Eden. They thought that Christ was going to come back now. So some of them sold everything they had, moved together into a commune, and they were sitting there doing nothing except looking up into the sky and waiting for Christ to come. Holy Spirit corrected him. "This isn't going to happen as soon as you think it is. There's got to be a falling away first. There's an antichrist that's coming. He's going to be found in the visible Christian church, and he's going to exalt himself above God." And that was fulfilled in the papacy. The Pope calls himself the Holy Father and believes he's infallible when he speaks. And it's gotten worse from there. Many false prophets came into the church. So, as it happened when Christ came the first time, hardly anybody knew it. And it's going to have, same thing is going to be happening now. You know, there are millions of heathen people in the world that are not waiting for the coming of Christ. They probably don't even know it. And sadly, there are many people in the visible church that don't believe it either. Some of them know it, but they don't believe it. And the Son of God indicated this when he said, when the Son of Man comes again to the earth, shall he find faith on the earth? And so this idea that we have of hundreds and thousands of people in the Old Testament church waiting patiently for the coming of the Son of God, it's a false idea. There weren't millions and millions and millions of people that were waiting for Christ to come. There were only a handful. Just a handful. That's all they were. And when Christ comes again, there's not going to be millions and millions of people that are waiting for him to come. Hardly anybody believes that anymore. But there's that little flock, the elect. The elect were there, the little remnant. The Bible calls it a remnant. A remnant is a very small thing. A little remnant is even much smaller than that, and a very little remnant, you can hardly even see it. And that's what God calls his flock, a very small remnant. But they're here. We're here right now. We don't number very many, but we're precious because we're a remnant that the Father gave to his Son, and he loves us. So when he comes again, there's going to be that little remnant. Some of us right now are praying for him to come every single day. It's got to be close. We're waiting and waiting and waiting. Now there's a contrast. When Christ came the first time, only a handful of people knew it. When he came in humility, he wasn't even born in a house. There was no room for them in the inn. And the pregnant woman had to be sent out to a manger shed. And that's where he was born, with the animals. He came in humility. His whole life was lived in humility. When he comes again, He's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to come in a glorified state. And instead of only a few handful that know it and see it, everybody that's ever lived is going to see him come. Because he's going to call to the graves, come forth. And just like Lazarus came forth when he said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody else is going to rise from the dead. This is the second Christmas. And they're all going to appear before his judgment throne. And he's going to separate them. There are going to be two groups. The final separation in earth history. The unbelievers are called the goats, and they're going to appear on his left hand. And the believers, his elect, his bride, are called the sheep, his bride, and they're going to appear in the right hand. And just as God prophesied to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, now the Son of God is going to speak one final thought to the heathen people. And the thought is this: depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Merry Christmas. And those people that resisted him and wouldn't obey him at all when he was on this earth in his humility, they're going to obey him when he gives the following command. And when he says, depart from me, ye cursed, they're going to turn and they're going to walk away and they're going to be thrown down into hell with the devil and his angels, and they're going to suffer forever and ever. And that's righteous. The children of God, the bride of Christ, are going to applaud in that. They're going to be thankful to God that he put away the devil and his wicked ones, and they can't test us and torment us anymore. It's over. They're down in hell. There's a great gulf fixed, and they can't cross it. And we'll sing God's praises for that. The existence of hell is one of the greatest examples that God is a God of love. But you know the first time that love occurs in the Bible. It's in Genesis 22, where God says to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of I will show you, and offer him for a burnt offering." And the meaning of that is more than Abraham loves Isaac. The real meaning is the father loves his son. And when the father sacrificed his son, that was an act of righteousness, but it was also an act of love because the father loves the son. Well, what does the son get out of it? Oh, much every way. The son gets a bride. His precious blood cleanses her sins. He gets a bride, and he's going to live with her forever and ever in a kingdom of glory. That's what he got out of it. And a blessed offspring of that is that God's elect are saved. And so to his elect at the last day, they're going to hear the first word he's going to say is, "Come." It's going to be the most comforting word you and I have ever heard. To the heathen, he said, "Depart from me." To his children, he's going to say, "Come. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And this is the real meaning of Christmas. Not only that he did come once, but he's going to come the second time. And that's a blessed, blessed thing.